Welcome to the shadows. Old stories line the shelves of our dusty archives. Stories of dreams, mystery, horror. We would like to bring one of our early radio tales back to life during this half hour. Let's see. Ah, yes. Here's one which Dostoevsky subtitled A Fantastic Story. It's a vision of a golden age that comes in a dream after death. To a man everyone calls ridiculous. Let's listen to the dream of a ridiculous man.
I am a ridiculous man. They call me a madman now. That would be a distinct rise in my social position, were it not that they still regard me as ridiculous as ever. But that does not make me angry anymore. They are all dear to me now, even while they laugh at me. Of course, I used to feel terrible about appearing to be ridiculous. No, not appearing to be ridiculous. I was ridiculous. I've always been ridiculous. I've known it from the day I was born. Everyone has always laughed at me. Then, as I grew older, it didn't matter so much anymore. I don't know why. Maybe it was because of a thing. A thing. A conviction that grew that I couldn't control. A conviction that nothing in the whole world really made any difference. Nothing had ever happened. Little by little, I realized that nothing ever would happen. And, well, it was only after that that I learned the truth. Last November, the 3rd of November, it was a dismal evening, as dismal as you can imagine. I was returning home about 11 o'clock. Rain, coldest and most dismal. It had a distinct animosity. Then it stopped. The horrible dampness descended on everything. The sky was awfully dark, but I could clearly distinguish the torn wisps of clouds. Between them, fathomless dark patches. I became aware of a tiny star in one of the patches, and I looked at it intently. Intently. Because it gave me an idea. I made up my mind, finally, to take my life, to kill myself that very night. Oh, I had made up my mind about that months ago and bought a fine revolver and loaded it. It still lies in the drawer, waiting. And now, the little star made up my mind that it would most certainly be that night. But why the star decided me, I don't know. My room is very small and poor. I have a sofa and a table with books, and an armchair. Ah, comfortable armchair. Very old. I sat down and lit a candle and began thinking. I would usually sit up all night in the armchair, doing nothing, not reading, not even thinking about anything in particular. Thoughts would wander in and out of my mind. I let them come and go as they please. I took the gun out of the drawer and put it down in front of me, as I had done 1,000 times. But this time, is it to be now? Yes, now. Now. I suppose I fell asleep in my armchair. I was not aware of falling asleep at all. Dreams, as we all know, are curious things. Visions appear with terrifying clarity. Details and engraved like jewelry, and yet we leap through an abyss of time and space. I had intended to end my life and my dream. Oh, my dream revealed to me a grand, new, regenerated and powerful life. I picked up my gun, for my dream began just as I was in the armchair. And I pointed it straight at my heart. Not at my temple where I had planned to shoot, but at my heart. I paused for a second. Then... There was no pain, but with the shot, everything within me was suddenly shaken. Shaken. And then extinguished. A terrible darkness descended all around. I couldn't hear or see or move. I was lying stretched out full length in a coffin, being carried. I could feel the swaying. Dead, and then lowered, buried in the earth. It was damp and cold. I did not expect anything. A dead man has nothing to expect. An hour, or a day, maybe several days passed. There was only the cold and the dampness. A drop of water had seeped through the lid of the coffin and fell on my closed left eye. Then another. And it continued on and on. Someone was doing this. Someone was responsible for all that was happening. You, whoever you are, if there is anything more sensible anywhere than what's happening here, let me see it. But if you're getting even for my suicide by the disgrace and absurdity of life after death, then you can be sure that no torture that you can put me to will ever equal the contempt I shall feel, though this martyrdom go on for 1,000,000 years. My grave was opened, and I was seized by some dark and unknown creature. Oh, never had there been such darkness. But we were in space, flying through space at a fantastic speed. The Earth was already far behind us. And I would not question him. Oh, I was too proud. I waited. I refused to be afraid. I cannot remember how long we traveled. I had no idea of time. But I remember that suddenly I could see a tiny star in all that darkness. That must be Sirius. Is it Sirius?
No. Star you saw between the clouds on your way home.
Who are you? You resemble a human being, and I hate you for that.
Did you expect? existence.
Yes. Why else should I have shot myself?
I am not a human.
But you exist, and I am in your hands.
So, there is life beyond the grave.
Yes, but does it change anything?
You are still humiliated, defeated.
I am in your hands. That's humiliation. If I am to live again, I will not be subject to anyone, to anything.
Are you afraid of me?
You know I'm afraid of you. And that's why you despise me.
You admit your own humiliation.
Yes. Yes, and you despise me.
No one despises you. No one is laughing at you. No one even pities you.
Then what is there?
Your journey. Your journey has a purpose that is unknown. Concerns only yourself.
I'm afraid.
Listen. Listen. Do you hear? Does it reach you?
Yes, yes. Something permeates my whole being. Speeding through the dark and unknown regions of space.
Is there an expectation?
Yes. And a terrible anguish. What is this feeling of something familiar? Something incredibly nostalgic?
Look. Look ahead.
Sun. Our own sun. That gave birth to our world.
How can it be your sun millions of miles away?
It is. I recognize it. It's our own dear sun.
Or a copy. Or a twin.
But the same light that gave me birth. Oh, feel the warmth. But it is so. Where is the earth?
There. A little star ahead. Like an emerald in the dark.
How can such repetitions be possible in the universe? Is that nature's law?
You will see.
Oh, and if this is an earth, is it the same as ours? The same wretched and unhappy earth that is so dear to us? Eternally beautiful and dear, even to her most ungrateful children?
You shall see it all. You shall see it all.
Yes, it is the earth. There, oceans, Europe. Oh, no. No, I won't have it. I can only love the earth I've left behind with my blood on it, my suicide. Even more for that than ever. We can only love with suffering and through suffering. There's no other love we know. Oh, I want it. Oh, suffering in order to love. I would kiss that earth behind me, that only earth. I don't want, I won't accept any other. No, no, no other. No other. Then I stood on this other earth, a Greek isle, or its double, or somewhere on the coast. Everything was radiant, triumphant. The gentle emerald sea lapped the shore and kissed it with a love almost conscious. I moved inland, tall, beautiful trees, in all the glory of their green, luxuriant foliage. Their innumerable leaves welcomed me and whispered soft, tender, such sweet words of love. What a world was this! The grass blazed with flowers, and the birds fluttered in flocks about me, unafraid, as they lighted on my shoulders. Oh, what world was this! And at last the people came to me. Oh, children of the sun, they came to me and surrounded me and kissed me. Children of their sun, I had never seen such beauty. How beautiful they were. Never had I seen such beauty in man, except perhaps in a tiny child. Oh, and they were like children. Bright, happy eyes, their faces radiant with understanding and joy. Oh,
immediately I understood it all, all. This was the earth unstained. This was the Eden, the paradise, the paradise. They thronged around me happily. They overwhelmed me with their love and laughter. They asked no questions because they knew everything. And with their loving touch, they longed to remove all the suffering. Oh, all the suffering. My dream lasted thousands of years, and I still feel the love of these beautiful people flow out from their star, their earth. But I never understood them as they were, playful, excited as children. They wandered about their forest and sang their beautiful songs. Their simple food was the fruit and honey from their trees and milk from the animals that loved them. No quarrel, no jealousy, but it was their knowledge, most of all, that I could not understand.
Look!
And they pointed out a tree.
Look!
I couldn't see with their intense love. Love that was a language. They talked with things and were understood, and animals and birds that lived peacefully with them never attacked each other.
Look.
They pointed out the stars and communed in some actual living way.
Look there!
No, I cannot understand what I see.
It doesn't matter.
And death. What of death?
There's little illness. But there is death. The old die peacefully, falling asleep. We gather around and bid farewell.
But is there a life after death? Is there religion?
Religion?
Or science?
Science?
But there is. In the evening, they praised the day and remembered all the sensations it had brought. They said their farewell and praised the earth and the sea, the woods, and each other in their songs. And I could not understand. It was beyond my grasp. In all the years of my dream, I never understood.
Look, the sun is setting.
Look at the clouds, the color. The red is always changing.
I couldn't imagine what I meant, and it didn't matter. I gradually became like them, youthful and innocent. Understanding didn't matter. I was overwhelmed by the fullness of life, and I worshipped them in silence. In silence. Now, of course, people laugh at me. I am ridiculous. They say I wished it all. But neither my heart nor my trivial mind could have invented what was to come. Nor could they have risen to such a revelation of truth. No, I'd never have been capable of such a slaughter. But it happened, that's the truth of it. Corruption. I corrupted them. I destroyed them all. All. I, like some horrible trickster, the plague germ, I, infected with myself that entire happy, sinless planet. I can't remember how it happened. Some joke, some innocent and playful laugh. The germ of it had penetrated their hearts, and they liked it. And then everything else followed. Voluptuousness, jealousy, cruelty, shame. Oh, they made shame into a virtue. Separation, the struggle for isolation and personality, mine and thine. Sorrow, oh, they loved sorrow. They thirsted for sorrow.
Truth can only be attained through suffering.
Brotherhood and humanity. When they became guilty of crimes, they invented justice. They drew up codes of law, and to ensure the carrying out of their laws, they invented execution.
What do you want of us now?
Can't you see what has happened to you?
You have brought us enlightenment.
No, I have brought corruption, cruelty, and destruction.
Oh, are we so dishonest, cruel, unjust?
And we have, after all, science. And with science, we shall discover truth once more. And this time, we shall know the truth and accept it in full knowledge.
Knowledge is of a higher order than feeling. and awareness of life is of a higher order than life.
No, no! Yes! Science will give us wisdom. Wisdom will reveal to us the laws of nature, and knowledge of the laws of nature will bring us to the greatest happiness of all.
No, no!
Slavery and saints made their appearance and temples at their blood. And statesmen who tried to devise a society in which each individual, while continuing to love himself above everyone else, would at the same time abstain from interfering with others. In this way, men would live together in a harmonious society. Whole wars were fought over that idea.
We firmly believe that science and wisdom and the instinct for self-preservation will finally force men to unite in a harmonious and intelligent society. But to hasten this glorious time, we must eliminate those who cannot grasp this concept and whose ignorance stands in the way.
And when the feeling for self-preservation gave way, there arose the proud ones who wanted all or nothing. All they could never have, but there was nothing. The cult of suicide. Religions appeared, worshipping the non-being, and self-annihilation for the sake of everlasting peace in non-existence.
Suffering is beautiful, because only through suffering is there knowledge.
Yes, and I love you all the more for your suffering, more than the time you were innocent and so beautiful. This earth, your degraded earth, I love more than when it had been a garden, because I love suffering and despair. But only for myself, not for you. I alone have done this to you. I alone, hideous, destroyed you. And you must destroy me now. Here's how to make a cross. Now, crucify me. Crucify me.
You have become a fool.
You are dangerous to us.
Terrible sorrow wrung me. I was dying. And then, well, then I awoke. It was morning. The sun had not yet risen, but it was nearly 6 o'clock. I was in the same armchair. Candle had burnt out. And there on the table was my gun, lying there, loaded and ready. No, never now. I had beheld the truth, and I loved and longed for life. Life! Sweet, sweet life. Oh, yes, life. And preaching. I would preach. I made up my mind from that moment I would preach all the rest of my life. What would I preach? Why, truth, truth, for I have beheld it. I have beheld it with my own eyes in all its glory. And so since then I have been preaching. They say I get muddled when I preach, muddled and confused. They wonder what will come of it. Well, it's true. I get confused more and more, trying to find the right words to preach and the right deeds to perform. It's very difficult after all. But then who doesn't get confused? However muddled I get, I have beheld the truth. I've seen it, and I know that men can be happy and beautiful without losing the ability to live on earth. I refuse to believe that wickedness is the normal state of men. And yet they all laugh at me for this faith of mine.
How can I not have faith in that belief? I've seen it. Seen it, not just thought it up. My intellect had nothing to do with it. I saw it. And that vision lights my path and guides me even when I wander off it. It leads me back. And I shall go on. Always refreshed. On and on for another 1,000 years. And they will go on laughing because I appear ridiculous. I'm saying it was a dream, hallucination. Oh, dear, is that so brilliant an objection? Is it so clever? A dream? A dream. What a life if it isn't a dream. I suppose, finally, it never happened. Never a heaven on earth. I can't myself see that there's much chance of that. But I shall go on preaching. I shall go on. I shall go on.
The Dream of a Ridiculous Man by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Adapted and produced by Eric Bauersfeld in 1964. Technical production was by Warren Van Orden, with music improvisations by Ian Underwood. The various voices were by Martin and Nancy Punch, Conlon Bradley, Chris Lighthill, Shirley Jones, Toby Halpern, and Eric Bauersfeld was heard as the Ridiculous Man. Additional technical production for this program was by Jim McKee. Well, that's all for now. Come and visit our archives again for another tale from the shadows. Real soon.